From 90.9 WBUR, I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston. Coming up, a new report questions the T's culture of safety. MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak gives us his response.
The T has always said that safety is our top priority.
Also today, our week in review. Boston Marathon bomber Jahar Tsarnaev is on death row. This week, his attorneys appealed his sentence.
This case should not have been tried in Boston. The marathon bombings targeted a beloved and iconic civic institution. They traumatized an entire community.
The government says Tsarnaev was given a fair trial.
A majority of prospective jurors indicated that they could keep an open mind, both with respect to Mr. Tsarnaev's guilt and the appropriate penalty.
We'll ask our panelists what they think and hear from former federal judge Nancy Gertner. That's all next on WBUR's Radio Boston. Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. An MBTA safety review panel report came out earlier this week, and it ultimately found that the T's approach to safety was questionable. One panel member, former U.S. Secretary of Transportation Ray LaHood, put it this way.
We found that the T is safe. They've made some very good improvements, but the T can be safer.
Well, we spoke with MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak. He told us safety's always been a priority at the MBTA.
The T has always said that safety is our top priority. I think what this report tells us is some of the resource, we are not giving enough resources to safety, and that some of the processes and procedures are not right, and we need to get oriented around that. The capital acceleration work, much of which is focused on modernizing the system, does provide an important contribution to safety, but it also stretches some of our resources really thin. And we need to do a better job of making sure we have enough resources to do the preventive maintenance, kind of the emergency maintenance work, and the capital appreciation. And we're doing that with this Flex Force funding, which we got $32 million for last night, thanks to the legislature, for that funding, which is going to allow us to have enough resource to do all three of those things.
So I want to stop and ask you about that, because the governor had asked for $50 million, and then you got 32. So you're saying 32 is enough. And I mean, I'm not saying you're saying you didn't need $50 million, because, of course, everybody wants more money for their budgets. But you're saying 32 is enough. You're satisfied with that $32 million number.
The $32 million gives us the opportunity to get started. And we've started. We've hired over 100 people who are going to work on this Flex Force, which is going to allow us to do more preventive maintenance and allow us to do capital acceleration. We're going to, over time, and this is consistent with one of the recommendations in the report, make sure we think we've hired enough people so that we can cover all the preventive maintenance and do the capital appreciation. However, as part of the FY21 budget process, if we feel like we don't have enough people, we will address that. We will fund those positions to make sure that we can do everything we want to do in terms of safety and the capital acceleration work.
How do you think, Steve, as the newest of, the report says, a line of 9 general managers since 2010, how do you personally think about, okay, we got to improve the safety culture and the safety practices inside the T, so my top priorities are ABC?
Sure. I think of it in a couple different ways. I think there's the things that we're sort of objectively moving to do. We are going to add staffing in the safety department. We are going to develop best-in-class key performance indicators and track them over time to make sure we're tracking the right things on safety and make sure we're making progress. And then I think there's a whole area of more subjective work, which is improving the safety culture at the T. And that starts with me, and it starts with the whole organization understanding that everyone there is responsible for safety, and that when they bring a safety issue either to my attention or to some member of the management team's attention, that something will be done.
What are the biggest pain points from your perspective for the T right now?
I think for us it is making sure that we're always prioritizing and that we're prioritizing safety. And I think this report goes a long way towards allowing us to do that. I think everyone is focused on safety, and we will continue to be. And that is, you know, my personal pledge that we will continue to focus on safety. I think one of our other issues is sort of bandwidth in terms of not only having enough time to do all the things we want to do, but also getting the employees.
If I were tweeting at you, I would be like, Steve Poftak, the Orange Line, what the heck? So let's just start there. Steve, the Orange Line, what the heck?
Sure. Couple issues here. One, We had a period of you know, very subpar performance last week, where we had a bunch of in-service failures, and we tracked that very closely.
So for listeners, yep. What does that mean?
That means a train set that is running stops running, and then everyone's offloaded onto the platform. They have to move the train set out of the station, and then you have to wait for the next train, which in some cases we're looking at headways of 12 to 20 minutes, which is obviously very disruptive.
And it was during bad weather.
During bad weather, during rush hour. So that's something we're taking a look at. Why are those in-service failures happening? Right now, kind of in aggregate, we're not seeing an increase overall. But when you have three during a rush hour, it's incredibly disruptive.
Yeah, and why that's something we want to look at. Why does it feel like an increase to riders? So you're saying that if you average this out over time, we're not seeing more incidents on the Orange Line in general. But it seems like a lot, especially since October when you had to take the new
train. Not right now. And that's something we'll take a look at. And okay. If it is an increase. But, you know, sort of over the last few months, there hasn't been any kind of noticeable decay in these in-service failures. I think the second part of your question probably has to do with the new cars.
Okay.
Where are the new cars? The new cars were taken out of service on November 18th because we were getting a noise that was coming from pads that are in the truck, essentially the wheel assembly and how it interfaces with the vehicle. There's an issue with those pads. We're working on a fix for that. There will be a fix forthcoming. I can't give a date certain. From my point of view, my priority is always going to be safety and the long life of those vehicles. We're going to get 404 of these cars for the Orange and Red Line. To the extent that we catch problems like this early in the production process, we can then fix it for all 404 cars. So it is frustrating. I would love to have the new cars out there, but the important thing is these 404 cars are going to last at least 30 years. We want to make sure we catch problems early. I'm really excited to get them back out there and to get additional cars back out there, but I won't do it until I'm satisfied that we've fixed the problem and that we've fixed the problem going forward in the production process.
In sort of simple lay people's terms, what money is supposed to be coming from what kinds of sources over the next couple of years? And do you have the right amount of money in each of the types of money that you need? So money for day-to-day versus money to buy new things versus money to work on safety. Where is it coming from? What's supposed to be coming? And do you have the right stuff in the right places?
I believe we do right now. We have we have over $9 billion available to us to spend on capital over the next 5 years.
And when you say capital, specifically, what do you mean?
It is things other than operating. So
okay.
building new stations, buying new cars, putting in track, that type of work. We have that's a mixture of state funds and federal funds and some of the T-zone bond money. Our challenge on the capital side really is, can we spend that amount of money? First of all, because we are very aggressively building an organization that can kind of project manage that level of spending. And the other thing, as we're seeing, is it's disruptive. We're going
say
from
some more about that.
In FY11, the T spent $400 million. In FY19, the T spent $1 billion.
Okay.
In FY20, we believe we will spend something close to $1.4 billion. So we're essentially taking the amount of money we spent in FY11, and that's going to be the difference between FY19 and FY20. That is just such a significantly higher level of activity that in order to do it, we have to do things like we've done diversion work on the core of the system, on the Orange Line and the Red Line over the fall.
So that's when people get on shuttle buses rather than on the train tracks, because you've got to be on the tracks.
Because we've got to be on the tracks. And we know it's inconvenient. We appreciate our customers' patience, but we're also able to get a lot more work done and really pull in projects that would have taken on an overnight, you know, that potentially would have taken another 12 months to do, we were able to do in just a number of weekends. I think on the capital side, our challenge is a logistical one. How can we get all this work done, and how can we get it done in the period of time? On the operating side, the T has the money it needs to operate the system as it is now. There's a number of things sort of coming down the road in the longer term. There's I would say, a very aggressive commuter rail vision idea that there's going to be a longer-term funding conversation around that. So I think there's a conversation to be had down the road, but we have the revenue we need to run the system as it is now in the FY20 budget cycle. We're just in the process of developing the FY21 budget, and that's something we'll re-examine.
We've seen estimates from various sources that suggest that to ease transportation, which is bad in Greater Boston, the MBTA over time would need closer to $50 billion. The reason I ask this is we heard Bob DeLeo earlier this week after the safety report say, we got to talk about new revenues. We got to talk about new revenues. Then when there was the supplemental spending bill yesterday, the ask was for $50 million for the T and you got $32 million. You're saying that in the short term, you have enough money and that the $9 billion is challenging actually to spend that much. There's a disconnect in the public discussion in those things. Explain that.
Well, I think that, you know, I think the $50 billion is part of a longer term vision, which, you know, my expectation is, you know, potentially has a 5, 10, 15, 20 year life to it. And it also contains a number of items. I mean, it's the option that gets you closer to that number contains a number of things that I don't think are necessarily going to, you know, all going to happen at once. So what I'm really looking at is we've got a couple major expansion projects in the pipeline, right? We're going to do South Coast Rail. We're going to do Green Line Extension. And we are also committed to addressing the maintenance backlog. We're committed to addressing the capital needs of the T, which is going to take us until 2032. Right now, we have a fully funded capital budget for the next 5 years, and that's where the $9 billion number comes from.
Okay. It's cold. We've had our first storm. There have been some troubles on the red, the green, and the orange line in the last couple of weeks. The report on Monday says both the T is safe and there's a safety culture problem at the T. What do you want to tell listeners who are like, am I safe? Is the train going to be there for me tomorrow? Do you have what you need? And if not, what do we need to give you? And do you understand that this is hard for me? What do you say?
You know, I want to express my appreciation to all our customers. I want to assure them that the MBTA is safe. I take the MBTA every day. Members of my family take the MBTA every day. That said, this report has some very sobering conclusions, and we are committed as an organization to addressing them. We are putting the resources in place to address them. It is not a resource issue. And we are also committed to addressing in improving the safety culture here at the MBTA. That is not a trivial task, but I believe in this workforce. I'm proud to be their colleague, and it's something that I know we can do.
That was Steve Poftek, MBTA General Manager. Stay with us. Coming up, our Week in Review this week will focus on Jahar Tsarnaev's appeal. I'm Tiziana Deering. This is Radio Boston.